and welcome to the Ted Brower Show. This is your host, Austin Brower. Ted is actually getting prepped for the Hagman Show right now as we speak. He's going to be on Hagman and Hagman Report tonight from 7 to 10 p.m., I think it is. And he's got some pretty interesting stuff he's been working on all week. He's been working on it a lot, actually. It's going to be a really awesome show. We've been talking about some of it yesterday on the show here, and him and I have been discussing it, you know, off air quite a bit. And I would definitely highly recommend you guys listen to it tonight. It's going to be a pretty cool show. I have some pretty interesting news that has come out today. We're finding that the GMO model does not stop anymore now. According to U.S. Today, it's been reported now, the FDA has now released and allowed the first genetically engineered food animal for sale in the United States. Is called the Aqua Advantage Salmon. Now, a lot of you guys may have heard about it a couple of years ago. There were some debates whether or not even trials were still going to go on with the testing of it. But it is done now. The FDA has approved it, and they said because of its modifications, the FDA says the new variety of salmon meets the definition of a drug. And this is a whole nother slope that we just stepped down as far as allowing genetically modified meat. I mean, it's bad enough when we have chicken and cows eating GMO corn and all this GMO feed, what it does to their cell structure and completely changes their DNA. Now we're taking that a step further, and we're just flat-out genetically modifying salmon. And they basically, there's really no limitations on this stuff now. I mean, once we open up this door, it's done. The New York Times reported that the Aqua Advantage, a product of Aqua Bounty Technologies, has received FDA approval after years of fierce lobbying by its manufacturer in favor of open approval, despite repeated warnings from detractors that Aqua Advantage poses serious threats to aqua ecosystems and humans. The FDA has determined the genetically modified fish is completely safe for everything and everyone on the planet. And what is crazy is the FDA has come in and they've completely ignored all petitions from consumers, all outside companies, and they haven't even taken an unbiased look at GM salmon to determine its true safety and whether or not it's even needed. Consumers have overwhelmingly indicated that they don't want to eat this or any other genetically modified animal, yet the FDA now plans to allow its entrance into the food supply, and of course there are no regulations on it right now as labeling it on packages, which makes it even worse, because now you're not even going to know. Now, I have a feeling that there's going to be quite a few ethical dilemmas that come up now. I know that the Center for Food Safety, the CFS, which has long opposed approval for Aqua Advantage on the basis of the science, they warned within hours of the FDA's approvals it would be filing a lawsuit against the agency. Andrew Kimbrell, who's the executive director of CFS, he said they had no choice but to file suit to stop the introduction of this dangerous contaminant. FDA has neglected its responsibility to protect the public. Surprise, surprise, that doesn't change much, does it? And what's interesting, I did some more digging, and I wanted to find out what really goes into all this. And they take a few different genes, really quite weird, actually, and they enable it to grow year-round instead of only during the spring and summer. So you're already starting to completely change its growth cycle, which, I mean, that automatically is going to do some weird things in the long run. The GMO fish grows to market size in about 16 to 18 months. So in about a year and a half, it's ready for market size. It's market size ready for sale compared to normal, actually fresh, wild-caught salmon, which takes about 3 years. And a couple of the concerns that a lot of people are really starting to put out now is, what about the potential environmental impact if these fish reach the rivers or the ocean? A few researchers have modeled invasion scenarios in semi-natural environments and suggest that genetically modified salmon would outcompete wild salmon. Now, the owners of Aqua Advantage, they are basically completely refuting all this. They're saying, oh, that's nonsense, that can't happen, this and that. Well, how do they know it's not going to happen? What's to say it won't happen? Are all the farms completely sealed that they're growing these guys in? I mean, are they, from now on, every single GMO salmon is going to be raised in a completely sealed, enclosed aquarium from hatching until production time? I don't know. So, I mean, the question is, I mean, I've seen many a times, I've lived on a lake my whole life, I've been on the ocean my whole life, seen many a times birds fly out of the sky, pick up a fish, go off and eat it, and drop its guts somewhere. They do it all the time. It's what birds do. So, I mean, if these things are not in a completely sealed, controlled environment 100% of the time, they're going to eventually be exposed to the wild. And on top of that, if they do get exposed, what happens to predators when they eat these fish? I know Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, and Aldi's have already come out now and announced that they would not offer Aqua Advantage. And so, and it brings up the next question of breeding. So if they were introduced into the society somehow, they say that the fish can learn to feed on new prey after leaving hatchery environments. These adaptions could pose a risk if genetically modified salmons were released into the wild. They could potentially survive twice as long as wild specimens. The ability of a genetically modified salmon to grow faster does not mean they are preferentially preyed upon, and this leads to increased survivability. Also, too, they stated that when they made this, that the salmon was essentially going to be non-productive, or it couldn't reproduce. GM males lack reproductive success and have a reduced number of surviving offspring. Only 5.4 survive, which is still enough to reproduce, I hate to tell them. So they said now they're going to look into it in the future, and they're going to cultivate only sterile females. So they're going to go in and genetically modify them even further. And what's oddly to me, when I read that, you know, sterile females, I thought of the aspect of Jurassic Park. When they're first talking about it in the first movie, you remember, he said, no, they're all females. They can't reproduce. And, well, I mean, we know how that worked out in Jurassic Park. It didn't really work out good for anybody. So when you start tinkering with animals like this, especially animals that are massively eaten all across the world, this can really cause some serious environmental impacts on human beings and ecosystems. So this is something that everybody needs to keep an eye out for. You need to let people know about this. If it does actually start hitting the stores, which I think it will, people need to start finding out what brands or what companies. I don't know if it's going to be labeled from Aqua Bounty or if it's going to be labeled underneath Aqua Advantage or if they're even going to label it at all and they're just going to start selling it to distributors. I'm not sure yet. We'll keep you guys informed of that as more we find out. But just keep an eye out on it because this is going to be the first step in a very long trail now, I think, of some pretty weird genetically modified animals. I'm sure the next step's going to be chickens and then, you know, cows and so forth. And so we don't even know where this is going to stop. And that's the whole part of it, is they want people to eat this food. There's not even a need for GMO salmon right now. We still have plenty of salmon in the water. Same issue with GMO vegetables. It just goes on and on and on. Now they've actually, after 35 years now, they've known the link between glyphosate and cancer for Monsanto. Now, guys, there's a reason why Monsanto is being called the world's most evil corporation. There's a reason why. The most significant conclusion to be drawn from a new research paper published in the Journal of Biological Physics and Chemistry. For the first time, the authors, Dr. Anthony Samsel and Dr. Stephanie Seneff, present in tabulated form the data contained in secret Monsanto studies conducted through periods of 1980 to 1990, which showed unequivocally that animals exposed to different quantities of glyphosate in their food supply developed tumorigenic growth in multiple organs. The doctors even quoted in here saying this is far more toxic than we were led to believe. Both Monsanto and the EPA knew of these and other delirious effects, but the EPA agreed to refer to these early studies as trade secrets and prevented public scrutiny. The results were considered inconvenient, so they were ignored. To make it even worse, guys, this was better. The EPA then agreed to further Monsanto-sponsored studies, which use inappropriate control data to create experimental noise. This is essentially what it did, was it masked carcinogenic and other effects in the animal test groups, is what it did. This is a fraudulent practice. There's all kinds of ways to manipulate test studies. This is one of them. They've also included that non-reporting of test group deaths and the fabrication of data tables and the falsification of experiment data. So, I mean, this right here, guys, if you were on the fence about GMO foods, if you thought GMO corn wasn't bad for you still, if you didn't think soaking down all your food that's grown out in the field with glyphosate Roundup on a daily basis, on a monthly basis, on a yearly basis, putting it in the soil, replanting it again. If you didn't think it had negative impacts on it, you need to look at this now. This is, I'll repeat it again, this is from Dr. Anthony Samsel, S-A-M-S-E-L, and Dr. Stephanie Seneff, S-E-N-E-F-F. Dr. Samsel is the first independent researcher to have been given access to full Monsanto EPA dossier of research reports, and the new paper itemizes the key research findings in their early papers and prevents a number of detailed appendicitis of the results. Well, excuse me. So, I mean, what you guys have to understand is this is not a joke anymore. This is serious. This is a real, real problem right here. GMO foods, toxic stuff. We need to stay away from as much as possible. We've told you guys that for years. This is just even further now. The EPA, again, complicit in it. So you guys have to understand that the EPA is not there to protect us. They are not our friend. They are not here to help us out with anything. The EPA and the FDA are only driven by one thing, and that's money. Money, 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 money. As long as they're getting paid, as long as they're making money, as long as nobody ruffles the feathers of Monsanto, they get to do what they want. Everybody gets their kickbacks and they're happy. Now, of course, now since I'm on that, I'm going to go on vaccines. I know you guys probably are sick of me talking about vaccines, but I'm going to keep talking about them until you guys stop asking about whether or not you should get them or not. I've been getting emails repeatedly on the website, repeated phone calls, people still asking me, well, what about this vaccine? Should we get that vaccine? Is this vaccine bad? Listen, I've told you our personal beliefs on this. No vaccines. They're not needed. If you really think you need them, then go get them. If that's what you really want to do. I don't recommend it. I never have recommended. I will never recommend it. And when you start having the government come in and start physically mandating that people have to be forcibly vaccinated like they're trying to do with the vets now, that is a problem. Almost every single time in history when the government has forced its population to do something, it's always been bad. We always look back and go, man, that was a really, really stupid idea. I can't believe we went along with that. These vaccines, they're one of them. We're going to look back in 20 or 30 years, if we're even here and acute enough to even realize what's going on. Hopefully we will be. We're going to realize, man, these vaccines were horrible. The FDA now is fast-tracking new vaccines targeting pregnant women. Pregnant women. Just, I mean, it doesn't even get, it's just ridiculous. In 2006, the CDC directed doctors to give all pregnant women a flu shot. Of course they did. Everybody's supposed to get their flu shot. Don't get your flu shot. In 2011, a Tdap shot during every pregnancy now, no matter how little time has elapsed between pregnancies. Prior to FDA licensing, the Tdap is what it is. It's influenza, diphtheria, tetanus, and what's next on here? Vaccine. There it is. Were not tested or proven safe and effective for women in large clinical trials when given during every pregnancy, either singly or simultaneously. It is a policy that assumes maternal vaccination is necessary, safe, and effective without having to prove anything. The Tdap vaccine was licensed by the FDA as a single-dose booster shot, and the pertussis containing vaccine injuries and deaths are the most compensated claim in the Federal Vaccine Injury Compensation Program for infants and children. That's what they're putting in this stuff, guys. So, I mean, you have to understand, you don't even know what they're putting in you. In the absence of credible biological mechanism, evidence shows that these vaccines are not safe for pregnant women, their fetuses, newborns, or female healthcare workers. Because they're making everybody get this stuff. There's even healthcare workers now that are being fired for refusing to take their injections, their flu shots, all this stuff. And you got to understand, guys, do you know what's in that vial? When you go to the doctor and they tell you, oh, you don't have a choice, you need to do this. First off, let's back up. You always have a choice. You always have a choice. The only thing that we really don't have a choice about is pretty much if we're going to die or not. And you can still make that own choice if you want to take your own life. However, I don't recommend it. You have a choice to get shot up with a vaccination. Do you know what they are putting in those vials? Do you even see them draw out of the vial? Half the time they come in with loaded syringes. You don't even see them draw it. Did you go to the lab? Did you see them assay and test the vaccine? Did you see what was actually being put in the vaccine? No, everybody's being so brainwashed by the medical society that we have to have vaccinations, 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 that you just let them walk into the room, inject you with a hypodermic needle straight into your muscle tissue, bypassing your liver, and putting who knows what right into your bloodstream without question. Are you kidding me? Are you really kidding me? If they say, oh, by the way, now, we think that if we cut your ears off, it'll prevent you from having cancer in the future, so you don't have a choice. It's recommended now, and it's mandatory. We need to cut your ears off to prevent cancer. You going to let them cut your ears off? I know that's a harsh, you know, vivid picture of getting your ears lopped off, but it's the same thing. You're letting them stick a needle in your body with a bunch of vaccines with aluminum and everything else. Who knows what else is in it? You're not even questioning it. Don't get vaccines. You don't have to get them. Tell them no. You still have a choice. You're an American citizen. This is not an option. You tell them, no, I'm not going to do it. That's how it's handled. That's how it's done. If they don't want to honor you and respect you as the patient and listen to your wishes, you need to go see another doctor. Because quite frankly, if they sit there and give you a hard time and don't want to listen to you about it and still want to shoot you up, you need to see somebody else. I wouldn't even give them the dignity of going back to their office again. It's ridiculous. And I'm sorry about going on vaccines again. This just frustrates me after a while. I've seen so many health problems after people get shot up. I even talked about yesterday about another incident, and there was another incident I just read today on the HPV vaccine. The Gardasil vaccine is a nightmare. The thing is just having astronomical health issues on children all across the country, dropping dead, coming down with all types of nerve disorders, having all types of autoimmune disorders, and Ted is going to talk about a lot of this stuff again on the show tonight, and way greater detail than I could even expand on. So if you want to know more about this and autoimmune disorders and the reason why this is happening with the vaccines and what's being given to everybody, you need to listen to the show tonight. And also, too, just to let everybody know, this show is brought to you by healthmasters.com. We always have to try and remember to do that at least once. If you are interested in health and unbiased information and actual real truth, go check our website out, sign up for our free newsletter, see if there's any articles on there. We have hundreds of articles you can search. Just type anything in the search bar and look it up. There's dozens of articles on all kinds of different topics, including the ones I'm talking about today. So go check them out. Another one that I wanted to touch on that I try to give you guys as much feedback as I can from phone calls and emails. People talk about stuff, and I try and give you guys pertinent information that, you know, we find after talking to people and more stuff that becomes very prevalent. One thing that is constantly being an issue now is iron deficiency and its misdiagnosis and what's being done about it. Many women are missing clear signs of chronic iron deficiency. Basically, the doctors and the patients themselves don't know what's going on. The misdiagnosis, women are told that they're having anemic issue due to their period. In this misdiagnosis, general practitioners are viewing the women's natural menstruation process as faulty and in need of intervention. Doctors often mislead women, telling them the problem is due to heavy periods. The doctor may intervene by giving them a contraceptive device, which there's all kinds of them, and I don't recommend any of them, not the injection, definitely not the injection, the oral one or the contraceptive device that's inserted into the woman. I don't recommend any of them. But what it does is it gives a steady dose of hormones to block the natural menstruation period. Now, here you guys, you have to understand, this is a natural thing that happens among women every month. This is normal. This has happened from the beginning of time. When you start adding in exogenous hormones into the body and preventing this from taking place, it causes severe problems down the road. I know so many girls in the past that I've talked to on the phones that have emailed us constantly saying, I was on birth control for this many years. Now I can't get pregnant with my husband. I was on birth control. Now I can't regulate my hormones. Now I'm having two periods a month. I mean, I've heard everything repeatedly, so I've been trying to find more and more stuff, and this is one of the big problems. A lot of times they say you have an iron deficiency because you have heavy periods, so they put you on it. Women's periods are governed by a balance of natural hormones regulated by the glands in their body. When you artificially block these hormones with contraceptives, the women's bodies are trained not to regulate their own hormones. That's simple as it gets. Their bodies may be forced to fight harder to adapt to the changes to achieve balance as a contraceptive device intervenes. In any case, the device does not deal with the underlying problem, and a lot of it is iron deficiency. Women either aren't getting enough iron in their diet, or they're unable to utilize iron because of the antibiotics, the herbicides, the glyphosates, the toxics, all the stuff that's going into our systems now. It's a very simple remedy to this. We started producing something years ago to help with this. It's called iron glycinate. It's been shown to be one of the most bioactive, available, absorbing irons on the market in clinical studies. It's incredibly good. I've had so many customers call up and say, I've tried a dozen different irons. They cause high blood pressure. They make me constipated. They make me sick. I get nauseous. I throw them up. I can't take them. I've taken yours, and within a week, I feel incredibly good. I got blood work done last week, and my iron is at a super, super high level, or a super stable level, I should say, healthy level. It's super easy. Now, the ultimate essentials for women that we manufacture, specifically for women, we add in the iron glycinate into that. The ultimate multiple and the ultimate essentials regularly, we do not put iron in that, as we also carry iron glycinate separately. I say this because men usually don't need excessive amounts of iron, and this type of iron is so bioactive that it will massively spike iron levels in men unless a man is having a severe anemic condition. He does not need it. But that's it, guys. That's the only thing you really need to do with iron is get this type of compound. And if you can't afford our products, if you really are that tight of a budget, go get organic, unsulfured black strap molasses. That's also the next best remedy. You can take that as well. That's a great, helpful hint right there. And also, too, start eating better. Get your gut microbial better. Get them probiotics. Start, you know, cut GMO foods out of your diet. Start eating cleaner. I mean, we have to understand there's a reason why everybody keeps going on medications. It's not because we have a medication deficiency. It's because the diet and the food and the environmental toxins are so just harmful to the body, they're causing more and more problems. Well, then we start going on more and more medications to combat more and more side effects from more and more drugs. I mean, here's a number. In the year 2000, the U.S. population that was taking multiple pharmaceuticals, at least five or more at a time, was 23 million, just a hair over 23 million. 12 years later, in 2012 now, the number of adults in the United States taking five or more medications has gone to 47.4 million. Guys, that's over double in 12 years. And I'm not talking about people that are taking one prescription drug. I'm talking five or more prescription drugs. And we did a show on this last week, I think, and we went into detail on why this happens. And Ted gave it a great analogy of, you know, you go into the hospital, you go into the doctor for high blood pressure. They put you on this medication. Well, that medication causes, you know, this problem, so they put you on another medication. Stay away from the medication. That's the biggest aspect that I always tell people. There's so many options with health and nutrition that you can do to bypass that and not even go to the doctor. We don't ever go to the doctor here unless, you know, like open my forearm up on broken glass or something when we're moving. I have to go get stitches. I've had stuff like that happen. But as far as going because I'm sick, forget about it, man. There's too many good options, too many good, you know, nutraceutical supplements you can take to stay healthy all the time. Now, next topic I wanted to touch on. As you guys know, I'm an extremely big Second Amendment advocate. I like firearms, especially when they're used in a safe manner and when trained individuals train with them on a regular basis so that people stay proficient with their firearms. I don't like clumsy people that flail guns around and don't know what they're doing. They're hazardous to everybody's health. So please, if you want a firearm, get proper training. Don't be an idiot. The first one that I wanted to go on, this one's just great. This one's really good. The new bill from Democratic Congresswoman Nydia Velazquez from New York announced a federal legislation called Reducing Gun Violence in Our Neighborhoods Act. Remember how I told you guys a couple weeks ago, they always like to coin these phrases like, you know, common sense gun laws. These are reasonable gun laws. Like this, Reducing Gun Violence in Our Neighborhood Act. That sounds awesome. Who doesn't want to reduce gun violence in our neighborhoods? That's just an awesome idea, right? No, it's a horrible idea of what she wants to do. The bill basically wants to require a $100 tax on every single gun now that's sold nationwide. And the issue is they're saying, well, the revenue made off the tax would go towards mental health and anti-violence programs, which if you guys have looked at anything our government's done in the last 100 years since the Federal Reserve's been enacted, every time there's a tax on something, it never goes to what it's supposed to go to. I mean, heck, how many? We have tax. We have income tax, and we have our Medicare. We have our Social Security comes out of our checks. We have our state sales tax. We have our fuel tax. We have our property tax. We have our vehicle registration tax. Heck, we even have inheritance tax and death tax now. And that's just a few of them that I just mentioned off the top of my head. So, I mean, do we really need another tax? We already have to pay $200 tax stamps on machine guns, short-barreled rifles, and suppressors from the 1934 NFA Act. Now, do we have to put more taxes on firearms? This is all obfuscation. This has nothing to do with preventing gun violence. You're telling me that you're going to put a $100 tax on a $500 pistol and a law-abiding citizen all of a sudden is going to think twice about buying a handgun to defend his life? No, if he needs to defend his life, of course he's going to buy the weapon. But the thugs on the street that don't have any type of restrictions, and they could go buy full-auto Tech 9s that are stolen that have been on the street for 10 years, dude, the $100 tax isn't even going to affect them. They're not paying sales tax on black market machine guns. Give me a break. What's crazy is on top of this legislation she wants, it's reported it would require all gun owners to report stolen or missing weapons to the authorities within 48 hours. If the firearm owner fails to report the stolen goods within the prescribed time, they will be charged a $10,000 penalty and possible jail time. Now, here's the funny thing about this. Okay, that's another one. Oh, that sounds good. If your gun's stolen, you need to go ahead and report it within 48 hours or you commit a crime. Wait a minute, Hal. What happens if I leave on Friday to go to the beach, come home on Monday, and my house has been broken into and one of my pistols has been stolen? Oh, wait, it's been 4 days since my house was broken into. Oh, wait, now I'm a criminal because I've been out of town and my gun got stolen while I was out of town. That doesn't even make sense. I mean, to sit there and penalize the victim for having their gun stolen, that doesn't even fix any problems at all. All this is used to further tax law-abiding citizens and put more restrictions on guns. It has nothing to do with gun violence. Majority of guns used in crimes are either, you know, been on the black market or they're stolen or they were once purchased legally and then they floated around to different individuals. A $100 tax only penalizes the law-abiding citizen who goes to purchase his gun legally from a gun dealer and doesn't have anything to worry about. And we have these circulated underground weapons that can never be taken off the street. I don't care how much everybody thinks, oh, we're going to take this gun off, we're going to do that. Listen. There's a lot of firearms. We'll go into that here in a minute. And the thing about it is firearms are one of those things when they were created, it changed warfare. It did that. And that's where we're at now, and we have to deal with it. But trying to put our heads in the sand and say we're going to tax law-abiding citizens $100, give me a break. It's ridiculous. There's nothing you can do to stop guns from circulating underground. Sometimes the only thing that prevents a criminal with a gun is a law-abiding citizen with a gun. And I talked about this last Friday. In the Roman times, they had swords and spears. If you were walking down the street and somebody was walking towards you and they had a sword and you did not, they had an advantage over you and they could pretty much rob you, take your stuff, and walk off without any type of fight unless you know you were extremely good at, you know, jiu-jitsu, grappling, whatever. But in real-world scenario, somebody comes up to you with a samurai sword and says they're going to cut your head off unless you hand them your wallet, you're probably going to hand them your wallet. That's the whole aspect of guns. Everybody wants to demonize guns all the time for the negative things that happen with them. Yes, dude, there's all kinds of horrible, horrific things that have happened with guns over the last 100-plus years. It happened. There's been horrible, horrific things that have happened with clubs and knives and swords and chains and bricks and rocks, and the list goes on. I can name anything that can be used as a weapon. They've all been involved in violent crimes. That's where it makes no sense try and restrict law-abiding citizens from having access to a handgun. This is just more taxation without representation, which is basically what Congress is supposed to be doing, is representing us correctly and taxing us fairly, as we see, and I just rattled off a little bit ago. This is not the way America was designed to operate. This absolutely has nothing to do with gun safety or keeping gun violence out of our neighborhoods. What's interesting is I found a letter written to the Orange County Registrar. This has been 1999, okay? This is, I think it was a year after, and then this was forwarded a year that was interesting because it says, the letter here says, it has now been 12 months since gun owners in Australia were forced to surrender 640,381 personal firearms to be destroyed, a program costing the government more than $500 million. And now the results have started to come back after 12 months. Australia-wide, homicides are up 3.2%. Australia-wide, assaults are up 8.6%. Armed robberies are up 44%. But wait a minute. This is a year. This is a year now after all the guns were confiscated from law-abiding citizens. They turned all their guns in. Well, if everybody turned their guns in, how did armed robberies go up 44%? Because the robbers don't abide by laws. That's why they're robbers. Doesn't make any more clear sense than that, does it? You can't sit there and say, oh, if we take the guns from the law-abiding citizens, the robbers aren't going to rob anybody anymore because they're going to feel convicted to give up their weapons because they don't want to be robbers anymore. No, that's the dumbest theology I've ever heard in my life, and the liberals that try and preach that to you, you need to tell them to go kick rocks. It's moronic. It doesn't even make sense. What's even worse is that homicides with firearms went up 300%. I repeat that. Homicides with firearms went up 300%. You can't even make these numbers up. You can look them up online. And what's crazy to me is that we have, you know, roughly, about 270 million guns in the United States. And this is a huge obstacle for the New World Order. They understand that it's very difficult to completely take over a country that is this well armed. We know what we're doing, majority of us do, that have firearms. I would like to say, like I said at the beginning, if you don't, please get training. You know, cut cable out for a month and go get a concealed carry handgun class. Go train with some tactical handgun shooting. And what people have to understand is this is one of the most intense driving forces on why the New World Order has such a hard time with America and doesn't know what to do. That's why there's all this propaganda on a regular basis all the time to try and make people feel guilty about guns. All the time. They want to try and make you feel bad if you're a gun owner. Oh, if you own a gun, you're bad. You contributed to gun violence. No, I didn't. Never committed gun violence in my life. Never even had a negligent discharge. I shouldn't say never. I need to knock on wood on that one. But, it's crazy. And even Liberal Democrat Australian Senator David Leon Helm told the NRA Australia should not be a model for gun control, because the country's 1996 gun ban pushed through after the Port Arthur massacre made no difference. He quotes, "We are a nation of victims. You cannot own a gun for self-defense, but the criminals still have guns." This is his quote, Australian Senator David Leon Helm. He said, in his words, that there's a vigorous black market for guns, and it's not made the slightest bit of difference. If you want an illegal gun in Australia, you can get one. What people have to understand is, like I said earlier, when firearms were built, when firearms were made, it was a whole different box, man. It opened up a whole other level of warfare. And we went from our, Brown Bess smoothbore muzzle loading single shots to where we are today, everything. You can't even really, there's nothing they really haven't even made as far as firearm warfare now. And so when it did that, whether you like it or not, it's here. There's so many weapons, and there's so many people that have weapons, and there's so many good people that have weapons, and so many bad people that have weapons. There's no getting rid of it anymore. And what people understand is society, sinful society, is sinful and violent in nature. Taking guns away does nothing to change that attitude. The only thing that will change somebody is the infilling of the Holy Spirit and getting saved through Jesus Christ and God Almighty. That's the only thing you can do to basically save yourself from hell and to create a new you so you don't have that extreme violent urge anymore. Now, people can say, well, I'm not violent and I'm not a Christian. Well, that's good for you. I'm happy that. Tell me how that works after you die. We'll see how it goes. But the idea is, Cain and Abel was the first recorded murder. They were like population 4 on the earth. Okay, there were no firearms. There were no machine guns. He used a club. He beat his brother to death, and his blood cried out from the ground to God. God knew he died. This is, if you take guns away, it just gets more medieval. And the thing is, you take guns away from law-abiding citizens, the criminals just have the guns. You take the guns away from everybody, the government only has guns. There's a reason why the Second Amendment was the Second Amendment. It wasn't to make sure that we have adequate rights to go hunting. That was a God-given right to be able to eat and feed yourself and drink water. That's what there was no right to go hunting when people moved here. There was no deer permits. There's none of that. You hunted whenever you wanted to, whenever you were hungry. The firearms, the Second Amendment was to prevent the government from seizing the firearms from the people when it went tyrannical like it did in the British. That's what that was for. And what's crazy, these gun-free zones, everybody's always like, well, it's a gun-free zone. Yeah, it's a gun-free zone. It means you're probably going to get shot. I don't go to gun-free zones. If I do go to gun-free zones, I still carry a gun. I don't care. Somebody's going to tell me I can't defend my life. It's ridiculous. And it's funny because you look back and almost all the shootings that occur are always in gun-free zones. Look at Paris. Paris is one of the most... I mean, it's funny. Where's this article here? Donald Trump, you know, like I said, I don't know everything about Donald Trump, what his base motive is. So far, he's got some pretty good ideology on stuff, so I can't argue with a lot of it. But what's funny is now he pointed out that France has some of the strictest gun laws in the world. He quoted, when you look at Paris, some of the toughest gun laws in the world in Paris, nobody had guns but the bad guys. Nobody had guns but the bad guys. Without the right to conceal carry firearms, everyone in the concert hall was completely defenseless. They had no chance of defending themselves or stopping the terrorists. Now, did the terrorists, before they walked in, say, man, this is Paris. It's illegal to own firearms here. We probably should go into this theater and shoot everybody. I really, really doubt that idea or thought even came close to crossing their mind. It doesn't happen with somebody that wants to permit that ill will on the other people. It doesn't happen. They're angry. They're violent. They want to kill people. They're going to use whatever weapon is available. So in my opinion, I should have any weapon I deem available to protect my life, my family, and anyone around me in that scenario. That's the whole aspect. Unarmed people are sitting ducks. Armed people make thugs think twice. Do you think those guys would have gone into, say, you know, the NRA gun convention? They were going in and trying out all the new firearms, target practicing, ammo reloads, machine guns. Let's just check out all the new weapons at the Paris Expo Center. Do you think this is the place they would have picked to go in and shoot everybody? No, I really doubt that would have been an even viable option for them. They always go after soft targets. You rarely see gun people, gun violent contributors, people that want to kill people. You rarely ever see them go to a place besides what? Schools? Any gun-free zones, movie theaters like the Aurora. But, I mean, you do the research on Aurora, you know that was a whole hit squad in there. That kid wasn't even proficient enough to go in and perform that kind of maneuvering. Even the same thing with Adam Lanza at Sandy Hook. You should start doing some research on that if you think that was actual real shooting. That was a straight-up false flag with a, you know, black op came in there and did all that. And people keep, you know, asking, and I've talked to a few people about this, does anybody else find it odd that basically we've known about these terrorists, you know, we basically funded these terrorists, they basically got all their arms from Iraq, you know, the CIA inadvertently has been funding them. We hear about them on the mainstream media all the time. Now they're doing a full assault in Syria, bombing everything in Syria over and over and over again. It's all you see on the news because of this attack in Paris. Doesn't this sound awfully similar to 9/11 again? The same thing? We have no idea. I mean, first off, the guys that committed this in Paris, there was a whole realm of guys that were involved in this, as I discussed on Sunday. This was not a couple little guys out of the sandbox in the Middle East decided to get together, grab some AKs, and do this. There were probably hundreds of people overall involved in this operation. And the whole thing going and bombing all these different places, now are they bombing real, true ISIS targets? I don't know. That's the problem. We don't ever know what they show us. They just show us what they want us to see on mainstream media. Question everything. It may be true. That's fine. If it turns out to be true, great. You still question it. Don't believe anything the media tells you. Do your own research. Look it up. You know, we know the Syrian pipeline has been trying to go through. We know they've been trying to kick Assad out of Syria so they could throw in a new puppet. And always remember, Iran more than likely will be the next target for another full-out assault and war. They've been trying to link something to Iran in order to invade them. Iran, look this up, Iran is the last major Middle East country without a Rothschild-owned Federal Reserve Bank in place. Iraq, Afghanistan, all those places over there had their own banks. After we came in, demolished their country, took them over, of course, we put in a Rothschild-owned Federal Reserve Bank. I think one of the only other countries is North Korea, which I'm sure will be, you know, having fun with them in the next couple of years, too. But watch out for Iran. When you see this propaganda about we need to invade Iran, we need to go to war with Iran, like Dad said yesterday, everywhere we go, we leave a trail of dead bodies from Vietnam up. I mean, everywhere we go, it's constantly warfare all the time. So when people start pointing the finger at, well, there was a shooting here in the United States somewhere, why don't we turn around and point the finger at the government and say, hey, why don't you stop invading other countries on a regular basis, demolishing power plants, water treatment facilities? Why don't you guys back off and stop going to war over every single thing because you want to control the entire world? Oh, wait, that's no, because we know the Rothschild banking cartel and the overall globalist elite want to own the whole world. I don't want to get any more on a tangent of this. You guys already know this. I don't advocate offensive violence by any means, but Americans have to wake up from their slumber and realize that it's, if it is to be, it is up to us. If you don't own a firearm, I highly suggest you purchase one. I mean, whether or not you believe me or not, I highly suggest you get at least a handgun. I mean, we're already seeing now that article I did yesterday, they got, what, 5,000 rifles and 500,000 rounds from two containers that were going to Greece that were marked humanitarian aid on the shipment. It said humanitarian aid. 12 of them had furniture. 2 of them had 5,000 rifles and 500,000 rounds of ammunition. These guys are playing for blood. This invasion, this Islamic invasion, was pre-planned. This was not something that just happened all of a sudden. This is a serious issue that's going on. Now they're bringing them to the United States. Now it's getting even worse here. Now we need to keep our eyes open in America. We see what happened over in Europe. We don't need to allow the same mistakes to happen. There's a couple measures I wrote down, you guys. You know, if you're interested in this, please take notes, listen to me. Get trained, get a concealed weapons permit if you can, carry concealed, and learn how to shoot it. Don't just get it. Don't just own your gun. Don't just put it in your safe and think you're cool. Train with it on a monthly basis. We need to first start putting high pressure on immigration centers. Legal immigration is not an issue. I've never had an issue with legal immigration. My grandma on my dad's side came in here as an immigrant from Germany after World War II. Legal immigration is an awesome idea, and it's an awesome goal for people in other countries that are less fortunate that want to come here legally and really enjoy the American dream and try and prosper. I understand that. I get that. I love that idea. The problem that we have is now is there's no more restrictions. Nobody's coming here because they want to work. Everybody's coming here because America is known as the free handout country of the world. I mean, now, you know, if a woman in Mexico comes in and she's 7 or 8 months pregnant, she comes in illegally in the United States, she then goes into the hospital a month later, has her baby, the baby is now an American citizen. That is an anchor child. She cannot be deported, and neither can he. Then all of a sudden, she can apply for every single state aid possible. Food stamps, you know, any housing, phones, transportation, everything. So now we have somebody that wasn't even an American citizen, has never paid a nickel in taxes here, has never contributed one thing to society, came here with a child, birthed a child, and now they basically are living off the government. If they want to come here and they want to work and they want to do what they're supposed to do and do it the legal way, I completely agree with that, and I'm 100% for it. And I've even helped people in the past go through the process of doing that. But there's a number of relocation centers for a lot of these Syrian refugees that are coming in. We need to put pressure along them and state officials and local officials and let them know we do not want any more Syrians coming in. Also, too, you boys in Texas, I know a lot of you guys are doing this. I've talked to a lot of guys over there, even citizens, you know, putting in and managing the border security. Security should be handled at a local level rather than a federal level, meaning the people of the vulnerable states should be organizing their own security measures, patrols, alarms, response teams. You should not have to rely on the United States government to take care of you and wipe your nose when it runs. You need to be able to handle yourself. The next thing is a really big one. Get a tactical response kit. If you don't have one, I suggest you have one. If you don't have any firearms, pick up a pistol. I'm a big big fan of Glocks. However, they have no safeties. A lot of people don't like that. 9, 40, or 45 are all good calibers. They're good rounds. There you have good knockdown power. They're easy and at least moderately priced to buy. Get one. If you have one of those and you want the next step, you either need to go into the close defense with a 12-gauge Mossberg pump action. Cheap shoulder-fired shotgun works amazingly well at close distances. Or you can go to a light to medium range rifle like an AR-15 or a 308 AR-10 platform. Both of those are phenomenal aspects. But I recommend if things start going in a negative direction locally that you keep some type of active shooter in your kit. Now, you, in your car, in your vehicle, in your house, someplace where you're going, you need to have some type of access. And generally, you know, I personally recommend at least having a handgun with 3 to 4 extra magazines of ammunition, minimum of 70 to 80 rounds of extra ammo on your person at all times. Generally, a Glock 19 is what I prefer. It's pretty easy to conceal. You can run a 17-round mag, and then you can also run a 3 or 4 magazine stack of 17s on your side holster in your cargo pockets. Also, too, you need to think about having trauma kits and getting certified as a first responder or taking at least some medical classes. You need to know how to do this, guys. The government's not going to be there to help you out if this happens. Look what happened in Paris. Not a single person had a firearm to resist this. Not a single person knew how to defend themselves against an AK. And don't get me wrong, a fully automatic AK-47, I mean, you got a 7.62 round barreling at you, you know, at 2,000-plus feet per second. That's a hot round, and it will kill you quickly. But the best thing you can do is know some type of tactics, and that's my next thing that I go on. Train with your gear and be proficient with it. The only way Americans can guarantee any measure of safety from a Paris-style attack is for as many citizens as possible to be armed and trained. This means mentally training to go towards the sound of shooting rather than run away from it, as well as tactical methods to marginalize a shooter's ability to move and project violence. Team training is a must, guys. You should already be working with a group, at least a small group, family, neighborhood, whatever, to function in a combat scenario without the danger of friendly fire or misdirected fire that might put innocent bystanders at risk. It's very important. I don't want to get in a firefight and have you come up behind me and shoot me in the butt with your .38 special because you don't all know how to operate your handgun and keep your finger off the trigger. You need to know what you're doing. But now, a lot of times there's this argument, and I will bring this up, is that when armed citizens respond aggressively to attack, there is a risk that they may be mistaken as terrorists by authorities. That is an option, but you do have to understand to point out that the authorities rarely arrive in time to accomplish anything, let alone mistake you on the scene as a terrorist while defending yourself. These guys wrapped up in suicide vests with ski mask on, if you're standing there in a polo shirt and you draw your weapon, you probably don't look like the terrorist. Plus, I would recommend if the situation has been neutralized, if law enforcement does arrive, you need to put your weapon on the ground. If you can, take the round out of the chamber, take the mag out, put it on the ground, put your hands on top of your head, and let the situation de-escalate. That's what I recommend doing immediately if the situation has calmed down. Now, if there's still hostiles that you need to engage, that's a whole different story. You're going to have to figure out how to handle that situation on your own. But this training is far superior than anything else you could do right now. Staying in physical shape is number two. But make sure, make no mistake about it, guys, your safety is in your hands, whether you like it or not. And I'm telling you that just because I'm talking to you guys just like my friends I talk about that I talk to around here all the time now. It is not the government's responsibility. They've already shown that. They don't care. Try to call the cops when something happens. It takes 10, 15, 20, 30 minutes sometimes for them to arrive on the scene. A lot can happen in 30 minutes when somebody breaks in your house with a gun, or you're at the mall and some jihad runs out with an AK and a suicide vest. And I'm not saying it's going to be gravy. I'm not saying a situation like this is going to go, it's going to end well for you or anybody. But I'm saying at least you have the advantage. At least you have an edge to defend yourself. I mean, we already know they found multiple refugees in Honduras now with stolen passports. The passports have been doctored to replace photographs with those of Syrians. So we know now that they're basically already coming over here to the United States. There's another article, too, where'd it go here? Yes, that they found 8 Syrians now on the Texas border in Laredo. The Department of Homeland Security has confirmed now that 8 Syrians were taken into custody at the Laredo port of entry. 2 federal agents operating under the umbrella of U.S. Customs and Border Protection basically caught 8 Syrian illegal aliens attempting to enter Texas from Mexico. This is happening, guys. Now, whether or not it's going to be a true terrorist attack or it's going to be some type of false flag in order to go after the guns, just understand, you have a choice. You don't have to give up your guns. You don't have to be forcibly vaccinated. You don't have to do this. You have to put a stand now. You have to put a line in the sand of what is not acceptable any further, what you will no longer take. You have to do that because we're at that point now, guys, that there is no turning back. We're basically at the point of no return. You either accept it and you go with the New World Order and you accept your mark of the beast and you be a good little Satan slave and you completely condemn yourself for eternity, or you resist now and you stand up for what's right. And this is where it's at. And I'm giving you guys the best pointers I know how from some very educated people that have trained me over the years, and I'm just trying to instill that in all you guys. Just understand that it's in your hands. Go get a concealed weapons permit. Stay trained regularly. Have situational awareness. When you go out in public, don't be an idiot. Get your head out of your phone. It drives me nuts when I walk around and I see everybody buried into their iPhone. Can't go anywhere now with somebody buried into their iPhone, on text, on email, playing games. First of all, why do we have to play games on our phones? Why do we have to go somewhere? Are we that bored as a society now? We can't sit and wait for 5 minutes without playing stupid little games on our iPhones in order to be, you know, entertained. It's ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Get your head out of your phone. Keep your head on a swivel. You don't have to act paranoid. You don't have to act weird. Just have situational awareness. If you see strange things happening, keep your eyes open. Be ready for any and all situations. Train like you fight and fight like you train. Get ready for anything that can happen. And that's the same thing. Get your wife, get your family, get everybody in that situation. We have to be ready for anything that can happen. And I hope you guys, you know, don't mind me ranting off on all this today, because I know I gave you a lot of information. Some of you guys may not like it. Some of you may agree with me. Some of you may not. But like I said, I've researched a lot of this. I've been in a lot of interesting situations over the years when I was younger, and I've seen a lot of stuff. And now I'm to the point where I want to instill as much knowledge as I can into everybody else. And so I really hope you guys take something from this, you guys learn something from this, and you really try and stay with us, you know, as we keep going in the next couple weeks and months. We do this every week, guys, Monday through Friday, you know, and on Sundays now, too. And now tomorrow, Ted's going to be on the Hagman Show from 7 to 10. That's going to be an awesome show. He's got some just awesome stuff that he's put together for you guys. That's going to be a really, really, really good show. And again, this show today is brought to you by HealthMasters.com. We do the best we can to produce the finest nutraceutical supplements in the world. We really pride ourselves in it. We take everything we make. That's why we make sure they're really good. So I want everybody to know that we love you guys. We pray for you guys. Our customers, our listeners, we appreciate all of you. If you guys need anything, give us a call. You know our phone number. Go on the website and email us. Check out articles. Read it for free. Whatever you guys need, we're here. And like I said, stay tuned tonight at 7 o'clock. Ted's going to be on the Hagman Show. And if I don't talk to you guys, we should be running some reruns, so you guys have a good Thanksgiving.